Man. Are we blessed or what? God is good. It's so funny. Everywhere I've been seeing this thing, this silly bumper sticker, and I think it's so funny. It says, kindness matters. And I was like, kindness does not matter. Jesus matters. Amen. Kindness is, I don't know, half the time it's fake. People are just want people to be nice to you, so they're nice. That's not real. So, I mean, they're trying to force you to be nice. But the thing is God in us can be nice. And that's the real truth. It's not us trying to be good to our fellow man, because it's just, we're just trying to get something for something. And that's the best man can do, is get something for something. We never do anything just because, unless we have God in us. Today, I'm going to read from Matthew 9. For those of you that know, that is the Sermon on the Mount. So, I had something specific I wanted to talk about, and we'll see if that happens, but the Sermon on the Mount is what's going to happen. So, but seeing the crowds, he went up into the mountain, and seating himself, his disciples came near to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. I'm in this Bible, so if it's a little weird, it's because I'm reading out of this Greek translation.
You said 9:5, right?
Chapter 5. Verse 3. So, this chapter has always interested me because, I mean, that blessed is the poor in spirit. That seems pretty obvious. But, you know, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? And it doesn't mean what you think it means. Because, I mean, yeah, to me, poor in spirit just means sad, you know, sad. But, I mean, the next verse is those that mourn. That's also sad. I mean, that's kind of a weird thing. Why would you say sad and sad? Poor in spirit, actually, if you look it up in the Greek, this particular poor in spirit. I looked up spirit, and I said, it was just spirit. And I was like, okay, well, okay. So then I looked up the word poor. And it doesn't mean poor like poor. It means someone who recognizes their spiritual helplessness. So, when they're poor in spirit, it doesn't mean they're sad. It just means they realize they need something. And so that's awesome. So blessed are those who recognize they need their spiritual helplessness. I mean, recognize they have spiritual helplessness, for theirs is the kingdom in the heavens. So it's awesome. So Jesus wasn't saying, blessed are the sad people. He said, blessed are those who know they need something. And then Jesus showed up and said, hey, here I am. Here's what you need. And they're like, woohoo, this is awesome. They didn't realize how much they needed him because he was just interesting. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This word mourn is just, it means to lament or wail inwardly or outwardly, but it's because, again, we're lacking something. So I noticed that every time I looked up one of these, it was because it wasn't the outward meaning of the word, that, because, you know, you read it in the natural mind and that's what you think. Oh, those are mourning. Something bad happened in their life and they're mourning. No, they're mourning because, again, they're lacking something. Oh, I have a big hole in me and I'm sad for that reason. So it just means mourning. That mourning just means that they know that there's a problem and they're sad because of it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's another verse that, sorry, my eyes are bad, so I have to keep. I'm not used to wearing glasses. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the rich man and the poor man. And it, when it talks about the poor man, actually in the Greek it doesn't say the poor man. It says the man who realizes he can't do it in his own strength. And the rich man thinks he can do it in his own strength. And so this meekness is the same thing. It just means trusting God, trusting completely in God, whether the outward looks good or bad. So someone who's meek just says, I trust you, Lord, regardless of the circumstances, because it's really easy to trust God when everything's going good. The question is, can you trust God when everything's going bad? You know, when everything seems to be falling apart. And right now, everything seems to be falling apart. And this world is terrible. I mean, who would want to live in this world right now? I mean, it's not even just here, just the entire world is nuts. But we can trust God because He's in control. It's so funny, we think, well, this guy's doing that and this guy's doing that. Well, God can just change it just like that. He could just, when He goes, oh, yeah, you guys have gone too far, and He could just stop it, reverse it. It's funny, I keep thinking of all these men that are getting rich on the bad things that are happening to everybody. But the Bible says, what does the Bible say what's going to happen to all their riches? We get it. We get it. In the end, we get all their riches. So they're storing it up for us. The Bible says they're storing up all these riches. In the end, we get it all. So, and they get nothing. They go to where they don't want to go. They don't know they're going there, but they're going there. So the idea is, though, is to, I mean, we should pray for those people. It's funny because you think of these people and they're just wicked, but you know what? They just don't have God. They don't know the joy and the peace of God. And if they did, they would realize that everything that they're aiming for is worthless. Because that's all they see. The world just says stuff, you know, fame, you know, popularity. And that's what they're thinking. I want to be the top. I want to be the top. But instead, we're like, hey, God, you be the top, and I'll just be down here and enjoying this stuff, this, you know, this earth. But they think that gaining the top is going to, you know, bring them joy. And they get there, and they have to go further because they get to the top, and there's still no joy. You know, I mean, the richest men in the world, you can look at them. They look miserable. You never see a smile on their face. They're just constantly trying to one-up each other. All right. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteous. As opposed to the external observance of the law, that is the... You know, righteous, you know, the world would say righteous is someone who's good. But this meaning is it's the internal meaning where your heart is right with God. And when I say right with God, meaning God did it. And then I saw this word piety in it because it said, and you have piety towards God. And I did not know what the word piety, I thought, you know, I know what the word pious means. Pious, you know, to me. Our definitions in the modern times are not the same as the definitions from 150 years ago or more. And so you kind of have to look these words up. Just if you guys don't know, there's a dictionary called the Webster's 1828. Don't use the modern Webster's dictionary because they pollute definitions. But the 1828, that man loved God, and man, his definitions are awesome. So his definition of piety is a compound of veneration and reverence of the supreme being and the love of his character, or a veneration accompanied with love and a piety in practice. It is the exercise of the affections in obedience to his will and devotion to his service. So, that's a lot better than just someone who's kind of a snobby Christian, because that's to me what I think pious means. You know, so... toward God, you are righteous because it is imputed to you. And imputed, my dad always said that word, and I was, you know, I didn't really know what it meant. It means passively attributed to you. It means someone put money in your bank account and you didn't do anything for it. It means your righteousness was given to you and you didn't do anything. It was passively attributed to you. So Jesus says, you are righteous. And you go, hey, but I'm wicked all over the place. And he says, yeah, but I'm righteous and I'm in you. So that means you are righteous. And you're like, hallelujah, because I wasn't going to make it. And I'm not one to, I'm the kind of guy that, I like to do hard things. But, I mean, if I see it's impossible, I'm like, I'm not even going to try. It's impossible. There's no point, you know. It's like I enjoy a challenge, but then you know you can see in the human sometimes there's just nothing, it's something you can't do. And being perfect, I cannot do, so I'm not even going to try that. I'm not even going to try being perfect. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's see. I don't know where that came from. Oh, I think there was a, let's see. Okay, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is not just an act of showing mercy, but one who has this attribute as a result of the indwelling God. So, again, like I was going back to the beginning, I said sometimes we do things because it makes us feel good about ourselves or whatever. You know, I showed mercy to that guy. Isn't that, how great am I for doing that? But no, true mercy comes from knowing that God forgave us everything. And so it's like, man, I'm wicked and God forgave me, so how could I not forgive this person? So you have mercy, and it's like, it's not even a burden. It's not even hard to do. It's just, one of my favorite sayings is, when I see someone do wicked, I go, there but by the grace of God go I. I could easily have done that wicked thing had God not been in me and changed me and you know, made me who I am. You know, because you see, you think, and you're like, how could anybody? But you go, that could be me. Had I not grown up in the household I grew up in and been taught about God, that could easily have been me. You know, had my dad's life continued the way it started out, you know, and him being, you know, his family being mafia and all that kind of stuff, that could have been me. I could have been in that wicked world. Probably not, because he wouldn't have met my mom and I wouldn't have been here. But that's a whole other thing. That's God guiding our paths. We make our plans. God guides our steps. I mean, if you... God has showed me over the years how He guides things and how things happen. And you go, you know, is God in this world? Is He doing stuff? He's doing stuff because, you know, if this hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened, and this wouldn't have happened, and this wouldn't have happened, and I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't be standing in front of you right now. You know, so I know that God sets things up in the world so that we can worship Him. He's awesome. I see this word pure, and I don't know where it came from. I'm trying to see if it came out of one of the verses. I'll just keep going. Anyways,
pure in heart.
Pure in heart. Yeah. Where'd that come from?
Hey.
Okay. I just put it in the wrong place in my notes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That means, you know, pure means clean or pure in a spiritual sense from the pollution and guilt. It's probably, yeah, from the pollution and guilt of sin, cleansed by the blood. So our sins are, I've always said that guilt is a sin because that's you thinking you can do something about your sin. Oh, I feel bad about that. That's just your flesh feeling bad about what you did and you got caught. Yeah. You know, God caught you. And you're like, ah, I shouldn't have done that. I got caught. You're not sad that you did the sin. You're sad that you got caught. You know, you're sad, you know. So a pure in heart person realizes that God has already forgiven them and that their sins are forgiven and that they are pure and that they don't have any guilt and there's no, and that the pollution of sin isn't affecting you anymore. It's you aren't affected by it, you know. If you guys sin, you got to remember, God already covered it. Jesus died on the cross. Your sin is covered. We ask Jesus for forgiveness just because it's an action. You know, we sin, Jesus forgive me. But it was already forgiven. I mean, it was already forgiven. Jesus died on the cross. His blood covered us. He said, it is finished. That's what He said on the cross. Tetelestai. That means it's finished. I covered all the sins, past, present, future. We just have to receive the gift. The gift is that Jesus covered it. You know, if you don't receive that gift, that's your bad, you know. But Jesus said, here it is, and I'm giving it to you, and you don't have to, you can take it or not take it. But it's free. You know, it's awesome that we don't have to, you know, people make Christianity such a hard thing. It's not. It's easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He doesn't, if it's hard, you're doing it wrong. So if you find Christianity hard, you're doing it wrong. Go back to the beginning. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It doesn't say because I'm good, because I'm bad, because I did right, because I did wrong. It said Jesus loves me. The Bible told me that He loves me. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers are the ones who receive peace, the peace of God, in their own heart and bring peace to others. So, again, it just boils down to we have peace in our hearts because of what God did. God says the peace that passeth all understanding. You know, it's like when you're at peace, your mind functions. When you're stressed, your mind, it's all over the place. You know, you have fear, you have anger, you have anxiety. But when you're at peace, your mind is clear and you can hear from God, you can see things. God tells me, well, I'll say stupid things all the time. They're not, you know. He'll just give me wisdom. Hey, do it this way. Hey, you need to make sure you cover this base. You know, it's because I'm trusting God. I don't have any reason not to trust God. He said He would do it. So if He said He would do it and He's God, I'm going to trust Him that He'll do it. And when you can just, it's hard because you, I don't know, you have to let go. And it's hard to let go because we as humans like to control our environment so that we can be comfortable and happy and enjoy life. But the Bible says in this world, you're going to have trouble, but count it all joy. And I think it's funny because the difference between the world and Christians is we're going to have trouble whether we're a Christian or not a Christian. The question is whether or not you're in God, and when you're in God, you can have peace and joy while you're going through that trouble, because you know God's going to come through it. My my dad was trying to help me out, I don't know, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and he said, I have this guy who's in construction, and he has an apartment complex, and he wants it landscaped. And I thought, well, I could probably do that. Oh my goodness. Talk about scary. That's where I learned completely that to trust in God, because I was every day, I wouldn't sleep at night. I didn't eat. I'd just wake up shaking. I mean, it was such a huge job and everybody was in my way and it kept raining and everything was falling apart. And there was so much money on the line. And I'm like, this is going to ruin me. I am not coming out of this. And then I about 3/4 of the way through the job, I said, all right, God, it's you. I'm going to completely trust you in everything. And sure enough, it turned out all right. And the thing is, what's stupid is, it was going to turn out all right regardless. But I worried about it for 2.5 months until God finally got through to me and said, stop worrying about it. I'm already in control. So we think, oh, by my genius, I finally trusted God. No, it was already going to turn out. I just didn't trust God. Yeah. I was wasting my time being worried. And when you waste your time being worried, then you're not focusing on Him. Yeah. You know? So, hallelujah. Blessed are they who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sorry. So that doesn't mean you go out and pick a fight for God's name. Because I think a lot of us do that. And especially on social media nowadays, because it's so easy to pick a fight. And you go, oh, look, I was being persecuted for God's sake. No, you're being persecuted because you were being a jerk. So it is. It's funny because for a while I would fight on Facebook, and then I always end the thing with "God loves you" in the end. I mean, that's so stupid. I wasn't showing them God's love the first 3/4 of it, and then I end with "Don't forget God loves you," and He's going to forgive me for being a jerk to you. So but blessed are those. I always thought when in time are we going to ever get to a point where we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Man, we're in that time. And when we, when we're salt, I think it says later on in light, we're going to be salt and light. We're going to be bold and we're going to stand up and everything's going to fall apart, but we're going to trust in God. God said, you know, if the lilies of the field have clothes and the birds have food, you know, he provided Elijah with food. The birds brought him food, and there was a little So it's like, how much do you trust God? Do you trust God enough to say, I'll just let it all fall apart. If they come take my house, if they come take my car, if I can't work to feed my family, how far are you willing to trust God that God will take care of you, to take care of your life? I mean, that's a scary one. That is super scary, because I now have a 2-year-old, and I think, man, I got to make sure that I don't screw this up, because she has to be fed. But will God not feed her?
Yeah.
I mean, He said He would. He said, don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. You know, He told the disciples, He said, just leave everything. Don't take anything. Just leave it all. It's all going to be provided. You know. That's a hard one, I think, for us, because we live in a time where we're comfortable. We have air conditioning and heating, and except for last year in February. But you know, it's like we're gonna have to get out of our comfort zone. Doesn't mean it's gonna happen. Doesn't mean everything's gonna fall apart. But we have to be willing to step out for God and say, God, if everything falls apart, I'm trusting You. Blessed are you when they reproach you and persecute you and shall say every evil word against you, lying on account of Me. You know what's funny? That's going back to social media. When I tell the truth to someone, it's weird. They shut up. And it's like they just disappear. And it's like, because I was, they've been, you know, screaming at me and yelling at me and yelling at me, and all of a sudden the Lord gives me wisdom and I say something and it's like they're gone. And it's like I don't know, they never talk to me again. I assume it hits them cuts their heart, you know, and they see the truth. I don't know. That's my man. I, as of late, my desire is to, man, just be weirdly preaching the gospel, just going out and just sharing God with people. I don't know why. I've always kind of wanted that, but I never really wanted that. But as of late, it's like, man, I really want to. I want people to know God. I want them to know the joy and the peace. And maybe it's because the world is falling apart, or seems to be falling apart. You know, we're led to think it's falling apart. It's actually God's in control and everything's completely fine. So, you know, outward appearances are nothing. Let's see. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes tasteless, with what shall it be salted? For it has strength for nothing anymore, but to be thrown out and trampled under by men. So it was funny. I actually looked this up. I was like, wait a minute. Can salt actually lose its flavor? And there were many people that debated this online. Most people said, no, well, salt is salt and it can't ever lose its flavor. So some people thought, well, Jesus is just saying, you know, what good is a person who can't love? You know, if you can't love, you know, what good is salt if it doesn't have any flavor? Because that's what it's used for. But it's saying, I don't know, I just lost my train of thought. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. I just turned 46. So my eyes are failing, my brain. It's so funny. Lately I've been, I'll think something and I'm going to say something to somebody and it'll completely just go out of my head. And I'm like, how is that possible? I've never been to the point in life where I cannot remember what I'm going to say. And it's just like, maybe it was God saying, you didn't need to say that anyways. So, you are the salt of the earth, but what is it if salt becomes tasteless? So, in the old days, when they were done with salt, they'd throw it on the road. And like, if you throw it in the yard, your plants won't grow. You can't use it for anything else, so they'd throw it in the road, and it would keep weeds from growing in the road and stuff like that. So, it becomes worthless for a seasoning. So, in the old days, salt was used for curing meats, for, you know, keeping things for good taste and things like that. And many times it was used for money, because salt was so precious that like he's worth his salt, man. Meaning, a lot of people got paid in salt instead of money. And so, what good are you if you're no longer usable? You know, we need to be usable. We need God. God wants us to. You know, we're usable when we stop, when we just stop and just say, God, use me. I'm not going to do it of my own strength. So, you are the light of the world, the city situated on a mountain that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a grain measure or a bushel, but on the lampstand, and it shines for all who are in the house. We do that a lot. For fear of, you know, what I was saying earlier, you know, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, we sometimes hide our light. You know, we don't say what we should. I can think of a few times in my life when God said, go say something to thus and so, and I didn't do it just because I felt like, you know, if that's not God, then I'm going to look like an idiot. But who cares? You already look like an idiot. So just do it. You know, what's the worst that could happen? You know, if you tell someone about Jesus and nothing happens, no big deal. But if you tell something about Jesus and their life has changed and they go to heaven, what did it hurt you to look like a fool for the chance to say, you know, lead that person to Christ? Yeah. Or maybe they're already with Christ, but you set them free because they were in bondage to religion or something. Religion is terrible. So let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. To me, the only thing I can think of, I always think, you know, Jesus said that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And I think when people know you and then they're like, well, you're this person. How can you be this person over here that you're saying this? And they see you and it's like, well, that must be God because I already know who you are. You know, you cuss and you do stupid stuff. And so if you're telling me that, that's God. So that's that way God gets the glory. And if God doesn't get the glory, if I do something good and they say, hey, good job, I go, oh, that was God. I don't want the glory. God breathed life into me. God gave me my brain. He gave me my hands. He gave me my ability. He gave me the wisdom to do it. That don't give me any glory. I don't want any glory. So, I had a big issue with God gave me the ability to sing. And I never wanted to be proud about that. And so I hid that under a bushel. But God gave me that voice so that I could sing to Him. That was me worrying about religion and hiding my gift. That's stupid. You know, if God gives you a gift, use it. Right. It's there to honor God and to bless people.
Yeah.
Do not think that I came to annul the law or the prophets. I did not come to annul, but to fulfill. Truly I say unto you, until the heavens and the earth pass away, in no way shall one iota or one tittle pass away from the law until it comes to pass. Okay, so God sent the law to Moses. You know, it's the Ten Commandments, or his dad would say the Ten Promises. And they became the Ten Promises when Jesus came down and fulfilled it. So it changes from commandments, thou shalt, to thou shalt. You know, it's a matter. That's so funny with today's technology. You can't hear inflection. You can't see the eyes. You know, you can't see the mouth right now with everybody wearing a mask. You don't know what people are thinking or saying. But you know, it's important to be face to face with people. That way they can see your heart. They can see, you know, what emotion you're putting behind things. I think that's why emojis are so popular nowadays, because you're like, that was a joke. Emoji. This is a joke. I wasn't being serious. Because all of a sudden you just get in a war over something stupid. So So, but the law, I mean, the law is awesome. Why is it awesome? Because it shows us how lacking we are. Like the very first thing that says, you know, poor in spirit, because they recognize that they're lacking from something. They recognize that they need something. And when they find God, they realize, oh man, that was what I needed. That was what I needed. Because if you don't, I don't know. The church today is so into keeping people that they do all sorts of stuff that feed the flesh. But that, I mean, they're totally missing the best part of who God is. They're missing the relationship. God wants us to enjoy life and not be burdened by. I mean, the devil is, the Bible says, the devil is a liar and the father of it. So the devil will take God's word and he'll twist it just a little bit so that it seems godly, but it's really wicked and it's a burden. So you have to know the word. You have to read the word every day. I'm horrible at that. I don't read the word every day. I do talk to God every day, all day long. I thought, how can you talk to God all day long? But I do. I mean, it's, I don't know, he's there. I ask him for wisdom. I ask him for mercy. I ask him for knowledge. We hang out. It's good to just hang out with God. I mean, that's God's point. He created us because we have, and it gave us a will to love him or not love him. He just wants a relationship. He wants someone who trusts him and lets go and just says, yeah, I want to have a relationship with you. It's funny when my wife and I will have fights or whatever, and I always think, and she's a lot better at fighting than I am because I wasn't allowed to fight growing up. And I always think, God, do I do that to you? And I know that God is using my wife to show me who I am to him, you know, what I do to him. And then I can repent. I go, ah, you're right. I do that. I do that exact same thing to you. And it's awesome. Man, my wife is such a blessing to me in many ways, not just showing me my sin. So whoever then shall break one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of the heavens. For I say to you, if your righteousness shall not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, in no way shall you go into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what do we know about the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, you know, they made up a bunch of fence laws and stuff so they wouldn't ever do wrong, and they were on the outward they looked perfect. I remember I had that revelation when I was in high school. There was this girl, and she never did anything wrong. I thought, man, if anybody was a Christian, that girl is a Christian. And then the Lord was like, that's just outward. You have no idea what her heart is. You have no, you know, she's just performing. I mean, she may be a great Christian, I have no idea. But God was just showing me, you can't tell from the outward. It could be just a performance. You know, it could be legalism. It could be fear of the law. You know, we don't know why people are good on the outside. So the scribes and the Pharisees looked great on the outside, but they didn't have it on the inside. And that's where it actually counts. You could look totally horrible on the outside, but if you love Jesus, I mean, like, I haven't ever purchased it, but I see it from time to time. My favorite t-shirt ever is, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. I love that t-shirt because that is so real. Because God isn't, I mean, you shouldn't swear, but God isn't worried about that. If you swear, who cares? That's so insignificant. That has nothing to do with relationship. God wants you to be real. He wants you to be you. If you're mad at God, get into it with God. Just let him have it. He doesn't care. He's probably laughing. You're cussing at him and screaming at him and telling him what a jerk he is and how could he let that happen. And he's just waiting for you to get it all out. And then he's going to love you. You know, he's like, Good, good. I'm glad that you can be you with me. Because that's what he wants. He wants us to be ourselves. He doesn't want us to pretend that we're something else. He wants us to be just us. You know, my favorite thing is people are always trying to be good. And God said, I will complete the work I began in you. So that means he's not worried about your sin. God said he'd take care of the sin. Again, he just wants relationship. That's all he wants. It's just relationship. So stop worrying about your sin. And I can say that. I can say that with all sincerity because I know that I can look back through my life and I go, I don't do that sin anymore. I don't do that sin anymore. I don't do that sin anymore. And that has nothing to do with me. God just took them completely out of my life. That I have no desire for that. I don't even think about it. It's just gone. And that wasn't anything I did because I didn't. I would have continued in that garbage. But God said, hey, here's a sin. I'm going to show it to you. And then I'm going to take care of it. So, I mean, that's awesome to know that he keeps his promise. He said, I will complete the work that I began in you. I could keep going. I don't know. But there's two more chapters. I don't know. I haven't even got through the first chapter. You have heard that it was said unto the ancients, do not commit murder, and whosoever commits murder is liable of judgment. But I say unto you, everyone who is angry with his brother and without a cause shall be liable of the judgment. That, actually, oddly enough, this is what I wanted to teach on, not necessarily murder, but where I see the world, probably even a lot of the church today, where I see the world is, they cannot separate a person from an action. If they see an action, they judge the person. And that's where as believers, we can say, that person did evil, but Jesus loves them. So you can't judge the person by their action, because we do stupid stuff all the time. But that doesn't mean Jesus isn't in our heart. So when you realize that a person is not their action, it's very easy to love a person, because you're just loving the being that Jesus created. I always thought it was interesting that when Jesus killed his best friend and stole his wife, and he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, O Lord. I mean, whoa, no, he sinned against this guy, and then he fornicated with his wife. Golly. But it was God. God created that man, and he created that woman, and God said they're holy, you know, in my sight. So David sinned against God. So that was totally a rabbit trail. We need to separate people from their actions, because it's hard to love. I mean, like, we see politicians every day in the news, and they're doing evil things to our country. Some of them even say, you know, they're like, my favorite is they'll go, well, I'm a Catholic. And I go, that means you go to church twice a year and it means nothing to you. Because the Bible says you'll see their fruit. You know, you'll know who people really are by their fruit. And you go, well, you do this, so obviously your fruit is telling me that you don't know who God is. That doesn't mean I don't love that person. I love that person because God loves them. And I pray for that person because, man, they need Jesus, even though they're evil. I mean, it's so funny today how many musicians have been coming to Christ. I mean, just huge, like megastars all of a sudden found Jesus. And that maybe is because they're old and they lived, you know, they sold the oats all their life. And they're like, all right, well, now what's next? I need God. But I don't know. It seems to be real. These people seem to, and I always want to reach out to them because I'm always assuming that they're going to get some weird religion and it's going to screw up and they're just going to, you know, like in the sower parable where, you know, the seed falls on different types of soil and it's not fed. I don't know. I don't know where that's coming from, but, you know, because I guess popularity means nothing to me. Like, you could be the most famous person in the world and I met you and I just treat you like I treat my neighbor, you know, just because you're God, and I mean, God's not, you're not God. God made you, God made me. We're all equal in the sight of God. We all sin. you know, our sin's going to keep us from heaven. So I guess the two things that I want to take away from today is, one is relationship to God, and two is relationship to man, not judging man by their actions and loving them even though they don't deserve it, because we don't deserve it, but just, so love God. Well, I guess that would be Jesus. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Interesting. So give yourself totally to God. Trust Him. And He'll prove it. And then love your neighbor as yourself, even the ones that don't deserve it, because their actions are not who they are. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your saints who are here in this room, who came to hear your word, who love you, who seek you. Thank you that you don't put any guilt on us. When we don't do as we should, you still love us. Thank you that when we don't do as we feel we should, you go, don't worry about it. I just want relationship. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to cover all our sins so that we could not worry about that burden and that we could focus on you. We could focus on just loving you and not worried about being good. Keep everybody safe today. Let them all have good travels and good fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.